Join me in prayer here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word here this morning, pray your blessing upon it. And Lord, I ask God that you would just bless your word to our hearts. And Father, you're a great and gracious God, and Lord, you do all things well. So Lord, as we gather around your word here this morning, speak to our hearts. God, may we be seekers of thee, Lord. May you encourage us to seek your face. So Lord, give us your blessing. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through everything that's said and done. Lord, help me to be a vessel that honors you, God, and honors your Son and your word that brings glory to your holy name. And Lord, I pray your word would sink deep into our ears and our hearts. And Father, I pray that we'd fear you exceedingly and keep your commandments. So Lord, bless us as we gather around your word. We're thankful for it, and we ask your presence to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, God's word has a lot to say about seeking him. And title of my message here this morning is Seeking God in Uncertain Times. Seeking God in Uncertain Times. And in 2 Chronicles, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said to him, I have heard thy prayers. And, you know, we have a God that does answer prayer. And we have a God that can move heaven and earth and sea because he's Almighty God. He's created heaven and earth and sea, and all there is has been made by his great power. And God said, Solomon, I've heard thy prayers. And the temple that Solomon just dedicated, he said, I've chosen this place to myself as a house of sacrifice, of worship. Now in verse 13, we often quote verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their lands. You know, we know that verse by heart, and that's a great verse that we should claim. But verse 13, sometimes we don't really think about. And it says, if I should shut up heaven, that there should be no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send out pestilence among my people. You know, sometimes God does things to break up the rhythm of life and to get our attention. Sometimes people turn away from God. Sometimes nations turn away from God. And sometimes God gives us an eye-opener. Sometimes God will wake us up and get our attention. Because sometimes, somebody said it like this, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. And sometimes it's not till we feel a little pain, a discomfort, that God gets our attention. And God says he's a jealous God. I'll have no other gods before me. And God wants our attention at times. So in verse 13, sometimes God will do things to nations to get their attention. But what's the promise there in verse 14? If my people, those that know God, like Solomon knew God, God said in verse 12, I've heard thy prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, we belong to God, God knows us, shall humble themselves. Now what does humbling mean? It means you make yourself low before God. You bow down, you're prostrated, you humble yourself. God refuses the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. We shall humble ourselves and pray. We pray, we call upon God, we pray and seek his face. And that seeking is an inner desire of our heart. In Psalm 14:2 it says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. The psalmist says, does any seek God? God's saying, does any man seek me? Do people seek me and want to know me? In Psalm 10:4 it says these words, the wicked, so the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, that's a wicked person. You know, a wicked person, they don't think about God. They don't care about God. God's not in their thoughts. You know who they're thinking about? They're thinking about themselves. Me, myself, and I. That's the three they think about. The pride of their conscience. Because of pride, they don't think they need God. They don't think they need God. They're self-sufficient. But you know, we need God. We need him day and night. David said, evening, morning, and noon will I seek thy face in Psalm 50. You know, we need to seek God. The wicked doesn't seek God. God looks down from heaven in Psalm 14:2. Does any man seek me? Are you a seeker of God? Do you want to know God? Do you want God's power in your life? Do you want God's presence in your life? D.L. Moody said this. He said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And why do some people don't seek God? Because God's a holy God. And they feel guilty. They feel shame. They don't want to be in God's presence. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's why they don't seek God. That's why they don't want God in their life. But God said, if my people, that's conditional, if my people, which are called by my name, we belong to God, shall humble themselves, make themselves low, and pray, lift their eyes up, lift their hearts up to heaven, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. You know, seeking God is important. You know, especially in these days here, as this coronavirus has gone across our land, this coronavirus has disrupted our country. People who a month ago or 2 months ago would never thought they'd be sitting at home because they couldn't go to work. Restaurants are closed, schools are closed. Does this get our attention? Does this make us think that, does God have a message here for us? Is God saying something to us? Now the wicked, they won't seek God. They have no desire to. But the righteous, those that know God, is there something that swells up in you and saying, God, are you trying to speak to me? Are you trying to speak to our nation? Are we going to seek him during this time? Are we going to be seeking him? You know, Job, he went through a tough time. In Job 5:8, he said, I would seek unto God, and unto God I would commit my cause. That's what Job said when he was in deep trouble. In Psalm 119, David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, David said, my whole heart have sought thee. You know, God wants us to seek him. He wants us to seek him in such a time as this. These are uncertain times. But God says, if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. That's God's promise. Do we seek him? Do we want to have God's presence? In Psalm 63:1, the psalmist says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You ever been thirsty? I mean, I'm talking about really thirsty. The hours, the days, and you haven't anything. How thirsty would you get? You'd be mighty thirsty. And how should we thirst for God? And the psalmist said, just like you would thirst for water, that when you have been parched and your lips are cracking dry and you wish you just had a few drops of water. That's how we should seek God. That's seeking God with your whole heart. God wants us to have that intensity. He wants us to have that passion. He wants us to have that intense desire to seek him. And especially in these days, we need to be seeking him. You know, in Psalm 27:8, it says these words, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, God says, seek me. And what was the response? Seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. You know, that should be the response. God says, seek me. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. You know, God wants us to seek him. But we can get so busy, so distracted. Our life is so filled with things and pleasures. Do we think about the God that has given us health to get out of bed in the morning? Do we think about the God that has blessed us with work, that has blessed our nation beyond any nation on this earth? Do we stop to give him the praise and the thanks he so richly deserves? Do we seek him? The psalmist in 27:8, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. And that's what we need to do in these times. Well, I'd like to look at the life of somebody in the Old Testament here. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 18. And king of Israel, his name was Hezekiah. And his father was Ahaz, king of Judah. Now, Ahaz was not a good king. He was a bad king. Ahaz took and took the altar of the Lord out of the temple and put in a pagan altar there. He all the Levitical priests that served in the temple, he stopped them from doing their service to God. And actually, it got to the point where he actually closed the temple doors. That was Hezekiah's father. You know, when we seek God, we may not have a good heritage behind us, but we can have a good future before us. Because when we seek God and we turn to him, just like Hezekiah, Ahaz was king of Judah. He wasn't a good example to Hezekiah. Hezekiah didn't have a good father image, but that doesn't stop us from seeking God. Because verse 2 says, 25 years old when he began to reign, that's Hezekiah. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And look at verse 3 here. And he did what was right in the sight of God. Now, when we see God, God sees us. As we live our life, God sees us. Is there any place in the world that we can hide from God? And in his sight, in verse 3, according to all that David his father did. Now, what did Hezekiah do? Verse 4 gives us some examples of what he did here. In the Chronicles, now in 2 Kings here, just a small here, in the Chronicles, in the related passage here, they gave three chapters for how he cleansed the land. But right here, it's just very brief as the writers of 2 Kings. But briefly, it just says here, he removed the high places and break down the images. Now, what are the high places? That's where they worship their idols. And that's where the high places lift up, where people could see how they worship their idolatry. You know what he did in the land? He removed them. He removed the high places and break the idols down, the images, and cut down the groves where they worshiped Baal and all these false gods. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made when the children of Israel had rebelled against God. And God said to them, told Moses, make this brazen serpent on a pole, as a pole, and had the serpent. And he put that in the midst of the pole. And when these serpents came in and bit the children of Israel, and if they just looked at that pole, they could have their healing. All they do was look and they were healed of these serpents. Those that didn't have faith in God, those that didn't believe Moses' word, when they were bitten by the serpent, they died. When they were bitten by the serpent, they died. And in the New Testament here, in John chapter 3, Christ actually makes reference to this here. He says, as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, that brazen serpent, he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, when Christ was lifted up, that if men would look to Christ, they could be saved from their sins and be forgiven and be cleansed. But here, these people, they had this brazen, and you know what they were doing? They were worshiping this thing that Moses made unto them in the days of the children of Israel. He did burn incense to it. You know what, Hezekiah? He destroyed that thing because it was a snare to them. Now, in verse 4 here, you know what he was doing? He was getting rid of all this rubbish, all this religious rubbish that had distracted and taken away the people of God from the true God, the rubbish. You know, sometimes before we seek God, there's got to be a cleansing. There's got to be a cleansing. And you know, people that really care about the things of God, you know what they're going to do? They're going to cleanse their hearts, and they're going to look around, and they're going to see what they can do to cleanse their homes, their culture, their society, their workplace. They're going to be a voice of righteousness. Why? Because they know God. They know God. And you know, Hezekiah, he knew God. And he looked around and says, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. And he did something about it. He cleansed the land. And for us as God's people, we're going to seek him. You want to have God hear your voice? Cleanse yourself. Make yourself clean. You know, David said in Psalm 51, he said, cleanse me, O God. Cleanse me, O God. You know, there's a cleansing that needs to happen in God's people's lives. When we don't clean ourselves, sometimes God has to take us to the cleaners, so to speak. The children of Israel, verse 4, Hezekiah, he started cleaning the land up. Now, was that an easy thing for him to do? I'm sure he met his resistance. But you know what verse 5 says? He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. And you know, when you serve God and when you're wanting to seek Him, you trust Him and you honor Him, and He's going to honor you. God says, if you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. And Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. And so much the testimony of Scripture says here in verse 5, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He trusted God. God, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to love you. I'm going to honor you. And he sought God with all of his heart. He trusted God. You know, when you trust God, when you do the right thing and you leave the consequences up to him, that's when you're trusting God. You're going to do the right thing and you're going to trust God that he's going to work it out for you, although you don't know how it's going to work out. You're trusting God. And verse 5 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Verse 4, he was cleansing himself, the land. He was going to make sure that what was right in God's sight was what was in, because he was king. He had responsibility. And for the fathers in our lands, in our homes, we need to cleanse our homes. Because if there's things in our home that isn't pleasing to God, we need to cleanse that. We need to start where we're at. We cleanse our hearts, we cleanse our home. And we trust God that he's going to bless us. Verse 6 says, he clinged to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. That's what Jesus says. If you know God, you're going to do what he says. And people that don't know God, they don't obey him. And you know the blessing of keeping his commandments? Verse 7 says, and the Lord was with him. Now, in troubling times, seeking God in uncertain times, you know what you want? You want God with you. And Hezekiah, the Lord was with him. And the blessing there, and he prospered. Whithersoever he went forth, God blessed him. He blessed him before him, behind him, beside him, above him, and below him. He blessed him. Because God was with him, because he saw a man that was seeking him. God saw a man that meant business with God, and God blessed him. Now, he did something that took a lot of courage. You know, it says here that, verse 5, he trusts in the Lord. You know what he did? In verse 7, he rebelled against the king of Assyria. Now, at that time, Assyria had conquered the known world. Babylon was still in the shadows. Babylon hasn't been raised up to a world power. Assyria was a world power at this time. And at this time, the children of Israel were under the thumb of Syria. And you know what they did? They had to send tribute. They sent money and gold and sheep and oxen and all this thing to the king and gave it to him. And you know what God put on Hezekiah's heart? Don't do that anymore. You serve me and I'm going to take care of you. So you know what Hezekiah did? He said, we're not giving the king of Assyria anything this year. He rebelled, and he served him not. Did that take some courage? It sure did. He trusted in God. God said, don't serve that king. And you know what's a sad thing about this? Samaria, that's the divided kingdom, when Solomon's son Rehoboam and the divided kingdom at that stage, and 10 tribes, northern tribes, the southern tribes. Well, what happened to Samaria and all the northern kingdom? Look down at verse 11. The king of Assyria did carry away Israel, that's the northern kingdom, unto Assyria. They were conquered. Now, did they trust God? No, they worshiped Baal and idols. Did they seek God's face and trust him? No, they didn't. Verse 12 says, why did that happen? Why did the king of Assyria conquer the 10 northern tribes? Verse 12, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. That's what happened. See, when you trust God, God's going to honor you. You don't honor God, you know, as for me, I don't want to have God's displeasure on my life or on my family or on my country because of what I've done. I want God's blessing, like Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord in verse 5. He did what was right. Guess what happened? The king of Assyria didn't like that they rebelled. Verse 13. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. You know, the history tells us, you know how many fenced cities? That's fortified cities. That's cities that had defense mechanisms around them, walls and doors that were barred. He took 46 of them. Boom, one fell, another fell, another fell, another fell. And Hezekiah hearing, oh, they took this city. Oh, they took that city. Oh, that one's gone too. 46 of them. Boom, 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 boom. He came right. He was cleaning the house. He was cleaning the house. And it got so bad that Hezekiah, he said to King of Assyria, hold your hand back. He gave him 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. All the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasury. You know, this is a weak moment in Hezekiah's life. He could have trusted God, but he got weak right here. And that can happen to any of us as God's people. He trusts God, he did. See, there's an old saying, the best of men are men at best. Can we have a weak moment? We sure can. Can we falter as God's people? We sure can. Can we have a heart for God, but feet of clay? We sure can. And Hezekiah, he got scared, and he just tried to, like, buy off the king of Assyria. Leave my land, my people. I'll give you whatever you want. In verse 15, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and all the treasure of the king's house. And how'd that go? Well, verse 17 says, the king of Assyria sent forth Tartan and Rabshakeh and Rabshakeh from Lachish. Now, Lachish was one of the cities that, in Lachish, they made the chariot wheels, their defenses. They made chariots in Lachish. And they defeated Lachish. They took it. You know, he sent all this to him, but you know, it didn't do him any good because he faltered. And he went up to Jerusalem, and they had this exchange here, and verse 19, and Rabshakeh said, speak now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? You know, he starts a psychological warfare. Him and his men are outside the city, and everybody's looking at these guys, and they just start hammering them psychologically, trying to weaken the men in the city. What do you trust in? Verse 20, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom do you trust that thou rebel against me, the king of Assyria? And now behold, thou trustest upon the staff, the brood reed, even upon Egypt. You think Egypt's going to help you? You think Egypt's going to help you? Verse 22, but if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, it's not that he whom our high places and altars Hezekiah has taken away. You know, this guy Hezekiah, he's cleaned the land of all your gods. Now, he didn't understand the true God. But he did have this understanding that Hezekiah had taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. And he sends a challenge in verse 23. Hey, I tell you what, I'll give you 2,000 horses if you can put men upon them. You think you can raise up enough army against me? You know, he was very challenging to them. Verse 30 says, "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us, and the city will not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria.' Hearken not to Hezekiah." You know, that's what the devil does. He will pound you, trying to get you to turn away from God. You know, ungodly, unsaved people, don't trust in God. You can't trust in him. "Hearken not to Hezekiah." You know, devil never lets up sometimes. Satan comes to seek whom he can devour. And, you know, Satan's so crafty. You know, he says to these men here, he says, "Well, why don't you do this?" As these men stood outside the city gates, "Well, why don't you make an agreement with me and come out to me? And every man will eat of his own vine, and every man his fig tree, and drink every one the waters of his own cistern. I'll, you know, you follow me and you'll have a good life." You know, that's the devil's lie. Because when you forsake God and you don't trust him and you don't seek him, it's not going to go well for you at the end. It's appointed that a man wants to die, and after this the judgment. And what do you do on judgment day? Well, Hezekiah heard this message. And what would you do if you're king? All your fortified cities are taken. 46 of them. Boom, 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 boom. Gone. And Lachish, that was just southwest of Jerusalem. Just taken. And you hear these men outside saying, "Just open the doors to us." Verse chapter 19 came to pass when King Hezekiah, you know, he felt the burden. These are his people. Well, he's king. What is he going to do? He rent his clothes. What does that mean? That was a sign of mourning and distress when people would, and they'd fall on their face. He covered himself with sackcloth. See what it means? That makes it uncomfortable. It's mourning. You don't want pleasure. You're in pain. And he went to the house of the Lord. You know, he was humbling himself. What did 2 Chronicles? "If my people, which are called, shall what? Humble themselves." And Hezekiah got very low before God. Verse 14, Hezekiah prayed a prayer, 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You know, there comes a time when we really need to seek God, because God can put you in a position where you have nowhere to go. How are you going to deal with this? And God sometimes puts us in these positions so that we look up, because we've been looking everywhere else for too long. And God said, enough's enough. And so Hezekiah, now, was he a perfect man? No. Did he trust God? Absolutely. Did he falter? Yes, he did. But you know, when you're God's child, God's the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God hears our prayers. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, verse 15, "O Lord God of Israel," you know, can you sense his passion, his pleading, his brokenness? Can you sense he wanting to get a hold of God, that he's seeking God? "Thou art God, even thou alone." You know, there is no God in heaven and earth except the Lord God. "Thou art God, even alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth." And that's our God that we pray to. He's creator God. He holds the world in his hands. "Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see it, and hear the words of Sennacherib." You know, he was pouring out his heart. And I think sometimes as God's people, We give God a 10-cent prayer and we want a $100 answer. And God says, you pour out your heart to me and you get broken before me and I'm going to hear your prayer when you mean business with me. Hezekiah, he said, Lord, bow down thine ear. God, I need you. I can't do this thing. I don't know what to do here. They're outside the gates. And what can I do? But I know this, God. You made heaven and earth. You're creator God. Verse 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, open thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, he's stating the facts. The kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods. And if you trust in a false god, if you're trusting in the works of your hands, or if you're trusting in your self-made god, not the God of the Bible, but some god that you've made up, some god that's not the God of the Bible, you have religion, but you have religious rubbish. If you're not worshiping the true God, you have nowhere to go. But Hezekiah could go to the true God and he could state the facts. And he said, Lord, they destroyed the nations, but they were no gods. They were the works of men's hands, of wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, Lord, our God, do you see how he's focused? He's looking to the true God. I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand. Simple prayer, right to the point, that all the kingdom of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You know what he did? He prayed his prayer that God would get the glory for it. He prayed the prayer that God would be honored, that all the people of the earth would know that this is the true God. That's a prayer that God will honor. That's a prayer that God will hear. That's a prayer that when you seek God and you pray like this, God's going to hear you. Where are the men and women of God that will cry out to God? There's souls that are dying and going to hell. Are we crying out for them? Are we crying out to God, God, save this person? Are we crying out for the plague in our land? God, this coronavirus is wreaking havoc in our land. Are we crying out to God for deliverance? Are we seeking God? Time does not permit me to share all that Isaiah did here in the next few verses. You can read them for yourself. Verse 32, Hezekiah prayed. Isaiah the prophet comes in, says, I got a word for you from the Lord, Hezekiah. Verse 32, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a siege bank against it. Now you're Hezekiah. You hear these words. What do you think I did to him at that moment? I mean, they were around his city. 46 of them been taken. And Isaiah comes in and says, you ain't gonna shoot an arrow here. Verse 34, for I will defend this city. This is God speaking, to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass in the night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That's a God thing. That's only what God can do. And this passage that we didn't look at here would Isaiah said to him in 2 Kings and in Chronicles, you know, God gave Hezekiah a sign. You know what the sign was? That the sundial would go back 10 degrees. What does that mean? As the sun gets lower in the sky, the shadow gets longer. And if the dial was to go back, do you know what that means? God did something. Now, how he did it, the Bible doesn't tell us. But that dial went back 10 degrees. You know what God was saying to Hezekiah? What did Hezekiah pray? What did he pray? He says that all the kingdoms of the earth shall know that thou art God. In verse 15, he prayed, "Of all the kingdom of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth." And you know what God did? He moved that sundial back 10 degrees. You know what he's saying to Hezekiah? I got the whole world in my hand. And if I can hold the whole world in my hand and change that sundial, I can take care of your problem for you. And God gave him that sign. And God delivered him. And you know what happens to wicked men that won't seek the true God? Verse 36, "And Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass that he was worshiping in the house of his god Nisroch, his god, that his sons killed him." That's the way of wicked people. God will deal with them one day, and they'll get their just reward. But for we as God's people, when we can have a situation beyond our control, what does God say? Seek my face. And back over here in 2 Chronicles, verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and what? Seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their lands." We need some men and women that are going to seek God. We need some men and women that are going to stand up for righteousness and cleanse their homes and their lives so they get on praying ground. You know, that they can be in right with God, that God will hear their prayers and God can honor them. And God says, "I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their lands." Where are you at today? Are you a seeker of God? And if you are, let me ask you a question. How much do you seek God? Now, you had 24 hours yesterday. How much of that time did you give to seeking your God? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Half hour? An hour? How much did you read the Bible yesterday? You know, we can say we seek God, but do we really? Do we really mean business with God? God says, "If you seek me, I'm going to honor you. If you honor me, I'll honor you. If you obey my word, you're going to put yourself in the arena of blessing." If, that's conditional. You have a choice. Are you going to be a seeker of God and seek him with your whole heart? Because if you do, you're going to see God do things you never could imagine. You're going to see God work in ways you cannot see. You're going to see God do things that you can't do for yourself. Because he's God, and you honor God, and God's going to bless you. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, at this time, as we've looked at the life of Hezekiah and how he trusted in you, God, and Lord, you honored him in the midst of a situation that was utterly impossible for him as a king. And God, I thank you that you're a God who holds heaven and earth in your hands. And God, you can make the sundial go back 10 degrees if you want to, because you're God. Father, may we trust you greatly. May we serve you faithfully. And may we seek you consistently, God. And Father, I thank you for the promises. And Lord, some of us have failed. Some of us haven't been seekers. Some of us have sin in our life that needs to be cleansed to get that rubbish out of our lives. God, you're a faithful God. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you hold us in the hollow of your hand. God, may we seek thee in these days of the coronavirus. May we draw near to you. May we be a light and a witness and a testimony to those around us. Lord, we're the only Bible some people ever read. We're the only testimony some people ever hear. God, may we be faithful. May we trust in you. May we seek you and see that you do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. That's our God. So Lord, deliver us from our fears. Deliver us from our complacency. And stir within us a passion for the things of God. Because one day, Lord, we'll need you. And we want to be on praying ground when that day gets here. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, this, your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.